Morning. Today's daf in Shabbos Kuf Mem Tes. We are here in the 23rd parak of Masechta Shabbos, second to last parak of the Masechta, and we are in the Mishnah on the bottom of the The Mishnah is going to give us three halachas. Number one, Mishnah says, "Mona Adam es orchav es parprosav mipiv." So what a person is allowed to do is count the number of guests that he has, and basically the amount of food that he has, and he can do so mipiv, literally with his mouth, but it means that he could do so in orally. But he can't do it from any kind of written document. And so the Mishnah's first halacha is that basically you can go over the guest list, but you can't do so from any kind of written document. The Gemara is going to explain why. Second halacha, the Mishnah, Mefis Adam as Banav V'im B'nei Beiso Al HaShulchan. So you can have some sort of lottery with your children and other people that living in your house. The portions can't be of different sizes. The portions have to be of the same size. What exactly is going on over here in terms of having a lottery for dinner? So the Gemara is going to explain. If you look at Rashi over here, Rashi consistently in the Mishnah says the Gemara is going to explain, because at face value, for these three halachas that we are learning right now, it is very difficult to understand even the cases, but even after we understand the cases, it's very difficult to understand what the issues are. And finally, the third halacha of this Mishnah, Matilana, Chalashim al Hakadashim Yantov. Also, as far as the Kohanim are concerned, they could also have some sort of lottery system in terms of the portions of carbon that they're going to be receiving on Yantov, Avalol Amanos. But they can't have a lottery for the Manos for their portions. And again, very difficult to understand what exactly the Mishnah is even talking about over here regarding the Kohanim. So there is a lot to discuss in the course of this Mishnah, just in terms of simple pshat in the Mishnah, what is going on in the Mishnah. With that stated, we are now going to begin the Gemara, and we're going to go step by step. So there are three halachas in the Mishnah, and the first one has to do with a guest list. And the guest list you can go over in your head, and the amounts of food that you have in your house you can go over in your head. But what you're not allowed to do is you're not allowed to read it from any kind of document. And this, of course, is on Shabbos itself. Now, what's the issue over here? So the Gemara begins the discussion. My taima, what is the reason for this? This first halacha of the Mishnah. We're on the very top of Kuf Mem Tes Amud Aleph. So Rabbi Amar Gzer Shemem Yimchok. So Rabbi's of the position that the concern is going to be is that what you may end up doing is you may end up erasing. And erasing what? So Rashi says, so we're going to see Rashi inside. We're reading Rashi inside. Shemi Yimchok. Rashi, second Rashi on the Amud. Mina Orchim. So you have a guest list, and what you're going to end up doing is erasing one of the names on the guest list. Shiira Shalo. Heichin Lahem Kol Tzarcham. V'yischarek Shezimen. Yoser Mina Roi. So you are looking now at the number of people that you invited. You're looking at the food that you have, and you got a little excited in terms of how many people you invited over. And you just invited too many people over, and you have charata, you have regret that you've done so. So what you're going to do now to solve the problem is yimchok min haksav. So you're going to now erase from a written list kedei shelo yikaram hashamash. And that means, you know, it's funny, without the last words of Rashi, so you're thinking to yourself, how in the world is that going to help? You're going to erase the name of somebody, and what, magically he's not going to appear at the table? So what Rashi now does is he explains with these last words, here was the process. Here was the system, and that is that these people don't know that they were yet invited over to your house. Meaning what's going to happen is that the shamash is going to go over to the house and invite them. Admittedly, it's a little funny that you're inviting them so late in the game. It's mamash on Shabbos itself. But it's a necessary part of this Rashi to understand how exactly erasing their name is going to help. Because now that you have a list, and now you're going to be handing the list over to the shamash, he is now going to be inviting people over to your house on Shabbos itself. And now that you're going over the list and you're going over the amount of food that you have, realizing that you just simply do not have adequate amounts of food for the people to come over and to eat, so what you'll do is you'll just knock off names from the list. And they, unless they find out at a later point in time that they were invited and they were disinvited, yes, that's going to be a problem at that point in time, but under normal circumstances, they're not going to know that they were disinvited, and good. Now, the problem, of course, is that you're erasing on Shabbos. Erasing on Shabbos is one of the malachas on Shabbos, and so this is a gzera shema Yimchok. So the concern is that if you have a list and you're reading off a list, you may end up coming to erased. Just as an interesting aside, so when you go back to the malacha of Mochek, if you go all the way back to Ein Gimel and the malacha of Mochek, so you'll note over there, the Gemara says that it's Mochek, that the malacha of erasing is so that you can write in that area. So it's just interesting over here because the purpose of you erasing over here is so that you don't have the name over there. You don't plan, the way Rashi is explaining it, you don't plan on substituting with another name. So just interesting that the gzera is to violate an issa daraisa, but one can really question whether or not this is a bona fide issa daraisa where you're erasing but not actually planning on writing something else in that area. Is that an issa daraisa? Okay, just a lot of food for thought to consider. Anyway, that is one concern. That is according to Rabbi. And according to Abai, back to the Gemara, Abai Amar Gzera Shem Yikor B'Shari Hedjotos. If you start reading this document, you're going to end up reading other documents. And so as a Gzera, as a concern that you're going to end up reading other documents, once you get comfortable with the idea of reading this document, you're going to come. You're going to end up reading other documents, and as a result of that, it would be now forbidden. Looking at the next Rashi, right where we left off in the Rashis, Kol Hani Shemi Yikra B'Shtari Hejotos. Rashi writes, as far as Shtari Hejotos are concerned, Shal Mekach Umemkar Kamar. We're talking about business documents. So Rashi understands that when we're talking, when the Gemara uses the term of Shtari Hejotos, it's referring to business documents. Okay, now. This too, this explanation of Abai is also really interesting because over here, reading a business document. So that in of itself, that's certainly not an issa daraisa, meaning that in of itself is an issa derabanan. So if you think about it, the gzera of not reading from a list is because you're going to end up reading a business document, but the reading of the business document in of itself is not an issa daraisa. It's an issa derabanan, and that of course begs the question. What we're looking at over here, a gzera, legzera, one rabbinic decree to ensure, to make sure that we're not going to be violating another rabbinic decree. And generally speaking, the rule is, ein osin gzera legzera. You don't make one rabbinic decree in order to violate another rabbinic decree. And so what you probably would say over here, in terms of understanding Abaye, the way Rashi is presenting it, the way the Gemara is presenting it, it's difficult to present in any other way, but what you're going to have to say over here is that the reading of a business document, even though that's a rabbinic decree, but that is really tied hand in hand with transacting business, with conducting business, and we're going to be describing that as a rabbinic decree, but it's a really strong rabbinic decree, meaning that the Chachamim really wanted us to remain far away from any kind of business dealings, business transactions on Shabbos. And even though reading the business documents themselves is only a rabbinic decree, but part of a larger picture the Chachamim wanted to paint in terms of refraining from doing any kind of business on Shabbos. And so, even though if I looked at it as an independent entity, it is a rabbinic decree, but at the same time, however, it's the Chachamim's real concern that we engage in any kind of business on Shabbos. And so, therefore, to safeguard it, so they put in this extra safeguard really to keep us away from conducting any type of business. Okay, but again, just more food for thought. So now let's just put everything together really simple. The Mishnah says that a person's not allowed to look at his invite list on Shabbos if it was written down. And he could go over it in his head, but he cannot read it from any kind of written list. And the Gemara now is presented for us two reasons why not. According to Ravibi, it has to do with the fact of concern that he's going to want to erase one of the people invited. Or according to Abaye, it's a general gzera because once you get comfortable with reading a list, you're going to end up reading Shtari Hejotos, which as Rashi presents it as being other kinds of business documentation. By the way, just I don't want to get involved, although it's an important discussion. Rashi's explanation of Shtari Hejotos being business documents. So this is not agreed to by all Rishonim. A number of other Rishonim are of the position that Shtari Hejotos is more encompassing in terms of what it includes. It doesn't just include business documents. Some Rishonim are of the opinion that includes other kinds of documents as well. It may even come to include literature as well. It's actually a really big topic. I just don't want to get there because I really want to focus more on the daf. The daf now going back to our two opinions in the Gemara Maibinai. What's the difference between the two, these two positions? There's a nafkamina between these two positions. What is the nafkamina between these two positions? So the Gemara is going to try to figure a nafkamina, practical difference between them, and the Gemara is going to take some time in order to get to its nafkamina. Because it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to really pinpoint what exactly the practical difference is. And so the Gemara begins the attempt. So ikamenau de kasav akosol midlay. So the first attempt of the Gemara is that what about the case where there is a written list, but it's high up on the wall? So the Gemara thinks now that this would be a practical difference. Laman dam reshema yimchok so la chayshina. Now to the concern that you're going to come to erase, but it's really high up on the wall, and so you're not going to come to erase because it's simply so high up there. Now it's a little bit funny, by the way. How did it get there? Meaning, who wrote the list? So I guess what you can argue is that someone wrote the list and after having written it, so then hung it up high on the wall. Okay, but anyway. So, but there's no concern about erasing it because in order to erase, you're going to have to get up there and it's going to be challenging to get up there. But if the issue is that if I start reading this, I'm going to be reading other documents. So over here, chayshinan, so then that concern does in fact exist because regardless of where this document is situated right now, which happens to be high up on the wall, but there's this problem that if I read this, I'm going to read other documents as well. So the Gemara right now thinks that it's got its nafkamina. So the Gemara says, I don't think it's a good nafkamina. Ulaman damer shema yimchok nechosh shema yikra. So the Gemara says, consider that these two positions aren't mutually exclusive of one another. Meaning, so even if you subscribe to the idea that I may end up coming to a race, meaning Rabibi's position, so you don't think he's worried about shtari hejotos? So he should be concerned that you're going to end up reading Shtari Hejotos. Vistu, and furthermore, says the Gemara, L'shem yimchok l'chayshinan, and you're not worried about erasing? V'hatanya. Let's go back to a discussion that we had a long time ago in our Masechta, and that was the prohibition on Friday night to reading to the Shabbos light. Lo yikra l'or haner. So we learned that you're not allowed to read by the light of the Shabbos lift. You obviously are required to write to light the Shabbos lich before Shabbos, so that you will have illumination in your house. Meaning, we discussed this all going all the way back to the second parak of the Masechta. And the point of lighting is manyfold. It's kavod Shabbos, it's oneg Shabbos, it's shalom bayis. So there's a lot of reasons to light. However, the chachamim will worry that if I take that light, not take it, but if I use that light for reading. So what's going to end up happening is that I need, for reading purposes, I need a good amount of light, and I'm going to be very tempted to go ahead and to tilt the lamp, which would be an Issur D'oraisa on Shabbos. And on this gezeira that you're not allowed to read to the light of the lamp on Friday night, Amar Rabba, afilu gavo shtei kamos, even if it's two floors high, even if it's the height of two people, and afilu gavo shtei mardos, and even if it is the height of two goads, right? Goads are the instruments used by the shepherds in order to get the animals to move. And afilu asar batim zal gabezeh, even 10 houses, one on top of another, 10 floors high, lo yikra, one's not allowed to read. Meaning once the chachamim make a gzera, so that gzera is going to be in effect in all cases. This is the idea of lo plug, that there's not going to be any kind of distinctions that are made. A gzera is imposed, and regardless of where the light is located, the gzera still is in force. And so over here, the same thing. If the gzera is that I may come to a race, so then the gzera is going to be enforced regardless of where the list happens to be. Now, the list is in arm's reach, the list is out of arm's reach, the gzera should still be in force. So the Gemara says, so now, basically what we've done is deconstructed the nafkamina that we proposed. So Allah, so the Gemara now is going to give a second attempted nafkamina. So Eli Gibbonai, the Gemara says, okay, the Kasavakoso mitate. So it's written on the wall and it is low, meaning it's within reach. So Lamanda Amar Shema Yimchok. So Chashinan. So if the issue is that you're gonna come to a race, so you may come to a race because it's right there on the wall. And Lamanda Amar Shema Yikra, but if the issue is that you're gonna come to read, so lo chashinan, there's no concern. Why? Because Guda Bishtar Lo Michlet. Because over here the list happens to be written on the wall itself. And so there's no reason to make a gzera under these circumstances, because if the list is written on the wall, it can make an easy distinction that I'm allowed to read that which is on the wall, but I'm not allowed to read documents. Meaning the two are totally different, reading off a wall versus reading an actual document. So the Gemara says, so maybe this would be a nafkamina. The Gemara says, I don't think it's a nafkamina. Ulaman d'amar shema yikra, because the one who subscribed to the idea that the rabbinic decree is because I may end up reading other documents. Lecha shema yimchok, meaning you don't think he agrees with Rabibi, that he's worried that you're going to want to end up erasing the list, and over here you may end up wanting to erase the list. So the Gemara says this too is not going to be a nafkamina between the two. So the Gemara now is, this is now attempt number three at trying to come up with a nafkamina. So, and that is the Chayik Atava Va'apinkas. He engraved the list onto some sort of clipboard, or on some sort of tablet. So the Gemara suggests that maybe this is going to be the difference between them. So Laman Damer Shem Yimchok Lo Chayshina. Now we're talking no longer about writing with ink. We're talking about an engravement. So if the issue is erasing, so you can't erase it. It's engraved. And Laman Damer Shem Yikra. Now if the issue is that if I start reading this, I'm going to be reading other documents. So Chayshinan. So now the Gemara says, so this is something to be concerned about. So again, the Gemara says Laman Damer Shem Yimchok Lo Lecho Shem Yikra. So the Gemara says, okay, but even according to Rabibi, who says that the issue is that you may end up coming to a race, you don't think he's worried also about a bias issue, which is that you're going to end up reading another document? So over here, he would also be concerned, meaning he would be concerned too with a bias concern. And maybe the argument you're going to make is that, look, this is an engraved document. And so no one's going to confuse an engraved document with a written document. So the Gemara says, Vahatanya, the Gemara says, but I don't think that's true because of the following, the Braisa. Mona Adam Kama Bifnim Kama Bivachutz. The person's counting in terms of how many people are sitting inside, how many people are sitting outside, Vikama Manosasid Lihanech Lifnehem, and how many portions he's going to place in front of them, Michtav Sha'alga Be Kosel, from a list that was on a wall, Avalo Michtav Sha'alga Be Tavlo Pinkas, but not from a list that was written on some sort of board. Now, the Brice over here is making a distinction between something on the wall versus something on the board. Now, hey Chidami. Now, this Brice, in of itself, let's first attempt to even try to understand this distinction created in the Brice itself. So, Elim, Dichsiv, Michtav. Now, if both lists are written in ink, Maishnahacha, Maishnahacha, I don't understand. It's written on the wall, it's written on a board. What difference does it make? So Ella Lav Dechaik, we're talking about it's engraved. So it's engraved on the wall or it's engraved on a board. The Ktani Michtav Shagabe Kosel. So, and the Brice is saying that if it was engraved on a wall, so that would be okay. But if it's Michtav Shagabe Tavla Pinkas, but if it was engraved on some sort of tablet, so then it's not going to be okay. So clearly the Brice, if our understanding of the Brice is good, so that means to say that the Brice is telling us that if it was engraved on some sort of tablet or some sort of board, so this is going to be a concern. And the reason why it's going to be a concern is that if I get comfortable with the idea of reading this, I'm going to be reading other documents as well. So what comes out now is that even in an engraved board, even in an engraved tablet, it comes out now that we are still worried that if I get comfortable with reading this, I'm going to be reading Shtari Hajotos. And so what comes out now is this too is no longer going to be an Afkamina. And so where are we right now? We're a little bit stuck. Because what the Gemara presented was two reasons why it is that we're concerned about why one is not allowed to read the invite list on Shabbos. We have two reasons that are given in the Gemara. Rabibi says is that I'm worried that we're going to erase. Abai says that I'm worried that it's going to lead to reading other business documents, and what comes out now is that we're trying to find a nafkamina between the two, and there is no nafkamina between the two as of yet. So elol olam dekasav akoso midlay. So the Gemara says, okay, after three rounds of trying to find a nafkamina, the Gemara says, let us now go all the way back to the beginning, what we originally proposed, and that was is that it was written on the wall and is high up on the wall. Udekakashalach the Rabba, and the Gemara says, And what was the difficulty? And that was Rabba's difficulty that he presented earlier. So the Gemara says Rabba's difficulty, or it's not Rabba's difficulty, but it's Rabba's rule. Rabba's rule that once the Chachamim make a gzera, so it is a uniform gzera, and we say lo plugin, that we don't make any kind of distinctions within the gzera. And so there isn't a difference, seemingly, between whether the list is within arm's reach or outside of arm's reach, much like when we talked about the gzera of reading by the light of the lamp on Friday night, where we're not going to be making any distinctions. That was the challenge that we had when we originally presented this. So the Gemara says, so what I'll respond to you is, de Rabba Tanaihi. This idea that when the Chachamim make a gzera, they do so with no distinctions, this is not agreed to by everybody. This is not a uniform and unanimous position that is taken. In fact, it's subject to a machlokes hatanayim. And so what we're going to propose right now is that it is a nafkamina as long as you don't take Rabba's position. And the Tanya, the Gemara says, and how do I know that it is in fact a machlokes hatanayim? Because of the following. Mona adam esorcha ves paparasav mipiva valomin eksav. So here in the Braisa, the Tanakhama says that a person is allowed to go through his guest list and through the amount of food that he has, and he can do so orally, but he can't do so from any kind of written document. And then the Braisa goes on, Rabbi Acha Matir, Mektash Agabe Kosel. Rabbi Acha allows you to read it off of a list on the wall. So over here, there is now a dissenting view of Rabbi Acha, who says you could read it from the wall, from a list on the wall. And the Gemara says, now we need over here clarification. You're reading it from a list on the wall. Hey, Chidami, what are we talking about over here? Elam adiksiv mitasa. Are we talking about where it was written within arm's reach, low on the wall? Lechoshem yimchok. So then clearly over there, there's a concern you're going to erase it. Alav diksav midlay. It's written high up on the wall. So the Gemara says, Ushmamina de Rabba Tanaihi. Ushmamina. And the Gemara says, and what you have to say now over here is that it's written up high on the wall, and it's out of arm's reach. And what's Rabbi Acha's position? His position is that the Gzeirah D'Rabbanan is not a standard Gzeirah D'Rabbanan. We don't say lo plug, and that means to say that the Gzeirah is only when it's within arm's reach. But if it's outside of arm's reach, he will tell you that the Chacham didn't make a Gzeirah under those circumstances. So this rule of Rabba is subject to a machlokes hatanaim. Tanakama does subscribe to the rule of Rabba, and Rabbi Acha does not subscribe to the rule of Rabba. The Gemara points out over here, we're going to show this again through another braisa, that this rule of Rabba is subject to a machlokes tanaim. Bahani tanai kahani tanai. Ditanya, ein roen b'mara b'shabbos. A person is not allowed to look into a mirror on Shabbos. Because what's going to end up happening is that he looks in a mirror, he's going to see that there's a hair that's growing that is just, he didn't know that the hair was there. He is a little bit now embarrassed that the hair is there, and he's going to end up wanting to cut the hair, and that it's Shabbos, and you're not allowed to cut a hair on Shabbos. So Rav Meir Matir b'mara kavu b'kosel. And Rav Meir gives an allowance to look into a mirror that is secured into the wall. So my shna kavu b'kosel. Now, what difference does it make where the mirror is? So adahachi v'hachi mitker. So the Gemara explains as follows. That by the time he remembers, because remember, he's looking in the mirror, he sees the hair, and at this point in time, he's going to remember that it's Shabbos. So the Gemara says, She'ena kavur nami. So if that's true with the mirror that's fixed in the wall, it's also true if the mirror is not fixed in the wall as well, meaning he's going to have to get scissors then. In the meantime, he's going to remember. He's going to remember that it's Shabbos and that you're not allowed to cut your hair. So the Gemara is basically saying, I'm really not following what distinction we have, why Rabbi Meir makes this distinction between a mirror that is secured into the wall versus a mirror that's not secured into the wall. So the Gemara says, well, we don't fully understand the distinction because, quite frankly, we didn't fully understand the case. And the Gemara says, once we understand the case, we're going to understand the distinction. And the Gemara says over here, the mirror under discussion over here is made up of a thin, sharp metal. And that the reflection is being provided by the metal, but the metal also is very sharp as well. The edge of the metal is very sharp. So the Gemara says, here's the issue. The issue is that if you're looking into the mirror. So what you're going to end up doing is you're going to actually cut the hair using the mirror itself. The mirror itself is made up of a sharp metal. And so right there, you can go ahead and you can use the mirror. Now, with that stated, now we're going to have a very good time understanding the difference between the Tanakhama and Reb Meir. The Tanakhama's position is that the Chachamim made the gzera that you're going to end up using the mirror itself to cut the hair. Now, once the Chachamim employ this gzera, the gzera is going to be applied under all circumstances because the Chachamim adopt the rule of Rabbah. Now, again, Rabbah's an Amora, so obviously the Tanakhama of this price that comes well before Rabbah, but you get the idea. They're subscribing to the same basic idea of lo plug. On the other hand, Reb Meir says, no, if the mirror is fixed into the wall, where there you're not going to be able to use the edge of the mirror, so under those circumstances, you can look in such a mirror on Shabbos. Mashenkin, however, if the mirror is not fixed into the wall, so then you are going to use the edge of the mirror to go ahead and cut the hair. So Reb Meir is obviously subscribing to the idea that even though the Chachamim do make a gzera, but a distinction's to be made within the gzera. When it is an actual concern that you're going to be using the edge of the mirror to cut the hair, so then the gzera is in force. When you are not going to be using the edge of the mirror because it's fixed into the wall, so then the gzera is not going to be in force. So once again, we see as to whether or not when the Chachamim make a gzera, do they make it under all circumstances, even in a circumstance where the gzera doesn't really apply, the low plug principle, or is there a distinction to be made in a gzera, where the gzera is only made under the circumstances where it applies, but not where it doesn't apply. So we saw this machlokas tanaim in terms of reading from the list. We saw this machlokas tanaim in terms of looking in a mirror. And the Gemara says, and now, under those circumstances, we could also say, now we have an established nafkamina between Rabibi and Abaye, assuming that they hold not like Rabba. So once you don't have to subscribe to Rabba, and we see two tanaim who do not subscribe to Rabba, so now we've also established a nafkamina between Rabibi and Abaye. Because now if the list is high up on the wall and I don't subscribe to the principle of Rabbah, so now I'll say that if the issue is Shema Yikra, that I'm going to read other documents, so then here I'm going to be concerned that I'm going to read other documents. But if the issue is Shema Yimchok, then I'm going to come to a race. So over here, no, I won't come to a race. It's out of arm's reach. And so the Chachamim didn't make the Gzera in a circumstance where it's outside of arm's reach. Adkan, that takes us now to the end of our first discussion in the Gemara. And that is the first halacha of the Mishnah, that one is not allowed to go over the guest list in written form. One can go over the guest list in his head, but not in written form. And the Gemara says that there are two reasons behind that. And the Gemara spent a good amount of the Amud Aleph trying to come up with a nafkamina between the two. And it also engendered the discussion of when the Chachamim make a gzera, do they subscribe to this idea of lo plug? Or do they not subscribe to the idea of Loplug? Tana Rabbanan. The Gemara now continues its discussion. Aksav ha-mahalach tachas ha-tzura v'tachas ha-diok naus. If we're talking basically about a caption that is going under a picture, or under some sort of image, aser likros b'Shabbos, you're not allowed to read the caption on Shabbos. So this idea of not reading the actual caption itself probably also connected to the idea that if I start reading captions, so again, if you go back to what we discussed back in the beginning of the discussion, it is going to lead to the issue of reading either reading Shtari Hejotos. Over here, I can't imagine that there's much of a concern in terms of erasing, but certainly there would be an issue of reading Shtari Hejotos. Interesting, Rashi over here, in terms of a picture with a caption on the bottom. Rashi writes, Kigon b'nei Adam and Mitzrayim b'kosel, chayos mishunos. So let's say, for example, that there's a picture of a strange animal, right? Some obscure animal. O diokna shol b'nei Adam shomasim kigon mechemes David v'Galias. Or let's say it's the picture of a battle between David and Goliath. V'kosvin tachteh hazutzer chaya plonis. And because either the animal is so obscure, you don't know what the animal is, Rashi writes, so on the bottom, there's going to be a small caption describing what the animal is. Vizu diopnus plonus aplonis. Or, in other words, you see two people fighting. You don't exactly know who's fighting. So the caption on the bottom is there to explain. So the Gemara says that one is not allowed to read the caption underneath. Now, as far as diupna atzman, now what about the image itself? Af b'chol asolistako ba, you're not allowed to look at the caption itself. Mishum Shenem, the pasuk says, Al tifnu el ha'elilim, that one is not allowed to look at graven images. And the Gemara says, my Talmudah, now, what exactly are we saying from the pasuk? Amar Rabbi Chanin, Al tifnu el midatchem. So don't look at things, don't turn to things that people come up with from their minds. You look at Rashi over here, Al midatchem, El asher atem osim midas levavchem, V'chalal shalalchem. Meaning the way the drasha works is that the word elilim also is connected to the word halal. Right? The aleph and the ches are guttural. The aleph is really not even guttural, I understand. The aleph is nothing. But you see the connection. They're closely connected. The word elil and the word halal. And so the idea is that things that we conjure up in our head, images that we conjure up in our head, and then we put it in writing, so this is something that is going to be prohibited. And so the Gemara says over here that the images themselves one is not allowed to look at. So in terms of artwork, so yes, the Gemara over here is taking a very, very strong position against artwork of images. In terms of halacha, you take this Gemara, there's also a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, which we're actually going to see. It's going to be some time from now in terms of the Daf Yomi. But there is there's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah there in the... It's in the second paragraph of Rosh Hashanah, where the Gemara also over there talks about images and the putting down of images. Okay, so there are a number of Gemaras that speak to this idea of putting down images of people or of any of the animals, stars, constellations. Okay, so and there's a lengthy halachic discussion in terms of what is allowed to be done, what is not allowed to be done. Anyway, but our Gemara over here, which has just ended the discussion, clearly is of the position that there is a significant prohibition of looking at the images of people and that of animals. We are up to the next line of the Mishnah, Mefis Adam Imbanav. A person is now having a lottery system to see who is going to be fed at the Shabbos table. So the Gemara says over here, Imbanav Imbnei Beso In V'Machir Lo. Now you could do this, but you can only do this with family members. You can't do this with people outside of the family, my taima. So the Gemara says, what would be the reason why? So Kid Rabbi Huna Mashmol, the Gemara says, this is consistent with the sheet of Rabbi Huna Mashmol. The Amar Rabbi Huna Mashmol, B'nei Chabura HaMakridim Zalzeh. If let's say you have a group, and they happen to be makrid with one another, meaning that basically they are not upset with one another, but in other words, they're particular. So what will end up happening is that over Mishamida, Umishum Mishkal, Umishum Minyan, Umishum Lov and Uporim Biyantav. So what's going to end up happening is that my portion looks not as large as your portion. And what's going to end up happening is that we're going to take out the tape measure, and we're going to weigh, and we're going to measure, and we're going to count, and we're going to see who is whose portion is bigger. So when you're dealing with people outside the family, so the family members themselves, so the portions are going to be given out in, generally speaking, equal distributions and equal portions, and the family members are not going to be upset with one another. It happens to be that, Baruch Hashem, I live within a family structure, and it happens to be that on occasion they do get upset with one another, but generally speaking, family members are more or less pretty okay with what other people get. I know that's not always the case, but if you have outsiders who are makbid zelzeh, so then it's the kind of thing which would engender jealousy. But that's the hashkafic issue. But the halachic issue is that they're going to end up measuring, and as we're going to be discussing a little bit later on in the Masechta, it's actually going to be one of our last discussions that we're going to have in Masechta Shabbos, and that is that one is not allowed to measure weigh on Shabbos. And so as a result of that, so the Chachamim said you cannot do this for other people outside of the family. Okay. Uchedivrei Hillel af Mishum Ribbis. And according to Hillel, there's also going to be an issue of Ribbis as well. What's going to end up happening is that when you have people in the group who are makbid with one another, who are upset with one another, and so what they're going to end up doing is that they're going to be borrowing a food from one person, they're going to be paying back at a later point in time, and so as we learned just in yesterday's daf, So this is going to be saw b'saw. This is going to be the issue of lending and paying back a commodity, which is going to be rabbinically forbidden because, as we discussed yesterday, there's going to be a fluctuation of price, and what's going to end up happening is that you're going to be giving the same amount of food but at a different value, and you will be in violation of ribis, as we already explained yesterday. It's not ribis d'oraisa; it would be ribis d'rabbanan. So the Gemara says, "Ihachi banav v'mnei beis onami." So the Gemara says, if this is true with a group of outsiders, isn't this going to be true with your family? So the Gemara says, "Banav v'mnei beis ohainu taima k'z Rabbi Huna Marav." So the Gemara says, no. The reason why you're allowed to do this lottery system with your family is consistent with the sheet of Rabbi Huda Marav, Damar Rabbi Huda Marav, Motol Havos Banov Bnei Beso Beribis, Kedei Lahat Imam Tam Ribis. So the Gemara says, we go to a position of Rabbi Huda Marav. Now we're going to see this again in Bab Metzia, and that is that according to Rabbi Huda Marav, so when lending to family members, one is allowed to lend with interest, in order to basically get them to appreciate that interest is something that really hurts. It's really painful. Meaning that you lend a certain money and they have to now pay you back more at a later point in time, and they're going to feel the bite of interest. And as chinuch, for chinuch purposes, so one can educate the children and make them realize and make them understand that charging interest is something that is that hurts and something that's painful. And so you could do that with members of your family. And over here, basically as life lessons, as instructional to your family, so you could do things to them that will show them, that will teach them that, you know, you want to know how it feels like when you're on the borrowing side of an interest-bearing loan. And you want to know what it feels like when you're part of a lottery and you don't win the lottery and you're not getting first. So basically, these are life lessons that are that you're trying to give over to your children. So the Gemara says, "Ihachi mana gedola keneged mana ketan nami." So the Gemara says, if the whole purpose of this is instructional, so for your family members, so why not in the lottery, not only use the lottery to determine who's going to get first, who's going to get second, so in the lottery also, why don't you unevenly distribute the portions, and now that'll really teach the kids in terms of how does it feel like when not only did you lose the lottery, but you're also now going to be receiving a smaller portion? So why not do that as well? So Nechinami, the Gemara says, yeah, you're right. So V'chesura mechzer v'hachi ketani. And the Gemara says that now what we're going to do is we're going to go back to the Mishnah. We're going to reread the Mishnah. So Mefiz Adam im banavim b'nei beis al ha-shulchan. So the person can make a lottery together with family members. Afilu mana gedola keneged mana ketana. We're reading the Mishnah now as saying that, yes, you can even do this with portions that are not evenly distributed. My time is Rav Yehuda Marav. And the Gemara says, and the reason why you're going to do this is because it's going to be instructional. You're going to teach your kids about life lessons of losing and not receiving a portion that is equivalent to other people. So, im banav im bnei beiso in, im acherim lo. And but you can only do this with members of your family. You cannot do this with outsiders. My time is Rav Yehuda Marav. And that is because of the concern of Rav Yehuda Marav, which is that if you do it with outsiders, so they're going to end up measuring, and measuring on Shabbos is going to be prohibited. Now, that's talking about a case where the portions are evenly distributed, because for outsiders, are makbizel zeh, it bothers them that even though the portions are seemingly evenly distributed, but I'm looking carefully and I think he got more, and that's when you take out the weight measure, and that's when you take out the scale, and you're going to start measuring on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, now if it's not evenly distributed, so that you can't even do during the week. So my tama mishum kovya, because that would amount to gambling, meaning that if we're having some sort of lottery system where the winner is going to be receiving a pronounced additional portion, so now we're talking about gambling. And gambling, the Gemara says, is prohibited. And so interesting over here, so now the way we're rereading the Mishnah is that when it comes to your own family members, so you can do a lottery in order to see who's going to be receiving in what order. You can also do a lottery in order to see who's going to be receiving a larger portion. And the way we're reading the Mishnah, that would be allowed for your family members. And again, just to teach them life lessons. But vis-a-vis other people, so you cannot do a lottery system, not for even portions, not for uneven portions. For even portions, you can't do because that's a Shabbos consideration. Because for even portions, what's going to end up happening is that they're makbizel zeh, and therefore they're going to be looking at their portion and their neighbor's portion, seeing whether or not they actually got equal portions. And so as a result of that, they are going to be taking out the measuring tape on Shabbos, which is going to be prohibited. And even during the week, if the lottery now includes not only who's getting in what order, but who's getting what amount, meaning the portions are not evenly distributed, so then you're looking at gambling, and our Gemara's position seems to be that gambling is prohibited. Now, I say that because the Gemara in Sanhedrin, in the third parak, has a lengthier discussion regarding gambling, and the Gemara over there, see the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Chafdala, Daf Chafhei, where the Gemara over there is not as opposed to the act of gambling itself being a prohibition, being an Isser. The Gemara certainly condemns it as being an unproductive activity, but in terms of being a bona fide Isser, the Gemara over there seems to indicate that it is not an absolute Isser. Anyway, that is a much lengthier discussion to be had in the Gemara Sanhedrin, Chafdal and Chafei. But meanwhile, our Gemara over here seems to say that it is Isser. We're going to continue in our Gemara. We are now about a quarter of the way down on Kuf Mem Tesamun Beis, Matil Chalashin. We're talking now about the Kohanim. So the Gemara now wants to know, Ava Lo Alamanos. So having a lottery in order to divide the portions. So the Gemara says, that is something that you're allowed to do, but you're not allowed to have a distribution for manos. The Gemara says, what are we talking about over here? Ava Lo, my Ava Lo Alamanos. So Amar Rabbi Yaakov Berei de Bas Yaakov. So Rabbi Yaakov says, who happens to be the son of the daughter of Yaakov, a really interesting way to describe an Amora by ascribing him to his grandfather and leaving out his father. There is clearly is a story behind the story over there. But regardless of what that story is, Avalo Lamanos Shel Chol B'Yom Tov. It means that we're talking about parts of the carbon that were offered on the previous on the previous weekday, and that means to say that the that what you're not allowed to do on Yontov is have a lottery for karbanos of the previous day. Pshita, the Gemara says now that seems to be obvious. So Mao de Tamahovik, if the Gemara says now, I might have thought the Amcha Kamrive Cohen, based on a pasuk in Hosea, that the nation is compared to Kohanim who end up fighting one with another. So, and we know that, generally speaking, the Kohanim are depicted as Zrizim. So they have a lot of alacrity, but with that alacrity also comes a certain amount of, let's call it type A. Okay, and they end up fighting with each other. So, afilo manos dechol nami. So one could have made the argument that in order to try to minimize the amount of fighting between the Kohanim, so the distribution of the karbanah should always be done with a lottery. And even if it's a carbon that's being distributed on Yontif, but it was from the previous day, it was a shlamin from the previous day. And even if it's a carbon from the previous day, in order to try to minimize the amount of fighting amongst the Kohanim, so it should be done with a lottery in order to try to limit the amount of fighting. So Kamash Malan, so the Chiddush of our Mishnah is that's what the Mishnah means when the Mishnah says, Avalo Alamanos, it means to say that for karbanos on Yontif itself, so they're going to be using a lottery system. But if it is karbanos from the previous day, so then that is going to be distributed, but not using a lottery system. Okay, and now, as long as we quoted Rav Yaakov, who is the grandson of Rav Yaakov, so what the Gemara now is going to do for the remainder of today's daf is go through some Agadata. Let's start the Agadata now. We're not going to finish the Agadata, but let's start it now, and we're going to finish it Mirza Shem Tamara. Amar Rabbi Yaakov Berei de Bas Yaakov Kol Shechaver Nenash Ayado. So if somebody who has a friend who is punished on your account, we're going to explain that better in just a moment. Ein Machnisa Noso Ben Mechitza Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu. You are going to be ousted out of the Mechitza of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That means to say that for in ways that we can understand, and it's limited, obviously. So you're going to be put outside of a certain perimeter of a Kadosh Baruch Hu after 120 years. So, right, so in other words, you are going to be certain, to a certain degree, you are going to be censored. Now, what does that mean that somebody else is going to be punished on your account? So so Rashi over here does not say. So, but presumably what the Gemara means over here is that that what you're doing is that you are asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly to go ahead and to take it up, to take din with somebody else. And that means to say that you're upset with somebody else, you felt that somebody else did something wrong, and you're asking Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? So you're going to take it up with him. And in doing so, so because you are basically serving as an instrument for somebody else being punished, so Kadosh Baruch Hu now is at the same time going to censor you a little bit, and you're now going to be somewhat removed, again, to the best of our understanding. Basically, the best of our understanding is, it's not a good thing. Meaning that even if somebody wronged you, so to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and demand justice, so that's something that you should not do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take justice, right? That's part and parcel of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. That's Schar Va'onish, that's Ikare Imuna, that's basic. But you shouldn't be the instrument of that. So Minalan, the Gemara says, now where do I know that from? Ilema Mishum Dechsiv. So the Gemara now is going to make a couple of suggestions of where the source of this idea is. And so the Gemara starts with a pasuk in Malachim. Achav, Achav was told that he would win at Ramos Gilad. He was going to fight a war with Aram. Achav was told by one of the Nevi'im that informed him were being influenced by a ruach, if you will. That's the language we're going to see in just a moment. A ruach that was lying. So what ended up happening is that Achav went to war against Aram, and in fact he was wounded and critically wounded. And so the Gemara now is going to be quoting Psukim over here from Malachim that speaks to this pasuk. Vayomer. So Elam Mishum Dichsi Vayomer Hashem Mi Yifates Achav Vayal Viyipol Beramos Gilad Vayomer Zeh Becho Omar Becho. I'm sorry, Amar Zebia. Amar Zebecho Vizel Omar Bechom. Vayetzer Ruach Vayamulif Neshem Vayomer Aniafatenu. And the Ruach comes in front of Akash Baruch and says that I'm going to entice Achav. Vayomer Etze Vayisi Ruach Sheker Befi Kol Neviav. And the Ruach says that I'm going to basically be a falsehood in the mouth of his Nevi'im. Vayomer Tifate Vegam Tuchal Seva Sekein. And he was given permission to do so. The Amin of my Ruach now. In terms of this Ruach, who is this Ruach? Amar of Yochanan, Zeruchos Shel Navos. This is the, so to say, the Ruach of Navos. Navos is the neighbor to Achav, who Achav and Izevel ended up killing because they wanted his vineyard. Who might say, now if you look carefully at the pasuk, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to the Ruach of Navos? He said, say, which means go out. And Amar Rav, say me mechitza si. And Rav says to him that you have to leave my mechitza. So what we seem to have over here is this idea that if you're causing din to somebody else, now over here, totally justified, meaning Navos was the victim. Navos was killed by Achav and Izevel. And so now he's asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu if he could be served as the instrument in order to extract punishment against Achav. So his case is a very good case. He was murdered on account of Achav. And so, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, say, and Rav understands that same in Mechitza Si, so what we seem to have over here is, in fact, a very good source to this idea. So the Gemara says, okay, it's a good source, but it's not absolute. But the Gemara says, yeah, but the word, but Rav's interpretation of same in Mechitza Si could be as a result of something else, which is that he had a lie. In other words, he told the Nevi'im something which was not true. Meaning, the truth of the matter is that Achav was not going to have success against Aram. And so, the Ruach knew this. And the Ruach had a lie. And so, over here, Tsei is as a result. Not because he was the instrument of Din, but simply because he lied. So, the Gemara says, so, as good as the source as this may be, but there's another explanation that can be given. As a result of that, the Gemara now looks to give a different proof to this idea that if you're the instrument of din, so you are going to be out of the mechitza of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Elam Yehacha. So the Gemara now is going to be citing the following from the Navi Chavakuk. and this is regarding a nevuah regarding Nebuchadnezzar. The pasuk says, "Savata kalami kavod shesei gam ata v'ha'arel." So a description that you're going to be satiated, and you and the uncircumcised one, and savata kalami kavod. Now we're interpreting. So the zu Nebuchadnezzar. You are satiated with kalom, with shame, and not with honor. That's a reference to Nebuchadnezzar. And shesei gam ata v'ha'arel, and you're going to drink, and so is the arel, these uncircumcised ones, zu sitkiyahu. Now sitkiyahu being described, sitkiyah, who was the last king of Malchei Yehuda, being described as the uncircumcised one. So he now is going to be punished for the shame of Nebuchadnezzar. And so basically he's serving as the instrument. And so as a result of that, so he's given the title of Arel. So the Gemara also doesn't like this as well. Chana, the Gemara says, first of all, Dekulei Krab and Nebuchadnezzar, no, the whole Pasuk is not to be broken up, where the first part is Nebuchadnezzar and the second part is Sitkiyah. But rather, the Kulei Krab Nebuchadnezzar, see if the whole pasuk is talking about Nebuchadnezzar. Va'od Sitkiyah Tzadikah. And Sitkiyah was a tzaddik, right, as his name indicates. So, but he's a tzaddik. So, my havelele mevele. So, what should he have done? So, the Amar of Yudom Arav. So, Bishar Shabike Shos Rosh La Sos Loso Tzadikach. So, when Nebuchadnezzar wanted to do the act to Sitkiyahu, so the Gemara over here, the Gemara is making reference to another Gemara, which happens to be that we're going to be seeing a little bit later on. So anyway, but the point is that Sitkiyahu over here was totally a victim, and he was not the instrument of punishment. And so the Gemara says, so this is not going to be it as well. So Elamihacha, so the Gemara says, okay, so this is now going to be our third attempt. So, and that is Gam Anos Tzadik Lo Tov. The punishment for the tzaddik is lo tov, it's not good. Ein lo tov el ra. So lo tov is a reference to ra. Uksiv kilo kel chafetz rasha atal lo yigurcha ra. The pasuk says regarding ra about that which is wicked. So Akash Baruch Hu does not want rasha, and ra is not in the same environment as Akash Baruch Hu. So tzadik atashem v'lo yagur b'megur chara. So this pasuk would indicate that once you're in this category of being ra, which is the same as being lo tov, so you are not within the same environment. You're not within the quote unquote the same bubble as the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And then going back to the pasuk from Mishle of gam anosh l'tzadik lo tov, that when the tzadik is the instrument of punishment, so that's not going to be good. So now when you put these two psukim together, so now you understand, now we have a source that teaches us that when you are the instrument of punishment, so you are, you yourself cannot be within the bubble of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you are outside of the Mechitza. That's the third try, and the Gemara is satisfied with that explanation of the Gemara. Okay, we're going to stop over here. Tomorrow we're going to pick it up with the words my mashma. And Gadata coming up. We're going to finish up the Gadata tomorrow with Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, and that'll come up tomorrow. In the meantime, however, let's quickly recap. Let's review the daf. We started with the Mishnah on the very bottom of Kuf Mem Ches Amud Beis. The Mishnah gave us three halachas. First halacha having to do with looking over the invite list. You're allowed to go over it in your head, but you can't read it from the paper, from any kind of document. Second halacha is that you can do a lottery in order to do a distribution of dinner, of the Shabbos meal, amongst your family. And the third halacha is that when the Kohanim are getting a distribution of karbana, so that can be done via lottery, but the Mishnah then says cryptically, but not over manos. And so each one of these lines of the Mishnah needed explanation, and over the course of the today's Gemara, we gave an explanation for each line of the Mishnah. So let's just quickly summarize, as we are now on the top of Kuf Mem Tes in our summary. Number one, as far as not reading off of a list, and we learned together that there are two concerns. One, once I start reading off the invite list, what you're going to end up doing is perhaps erasing one of the names. because you simply don't have enough food. And so that's one concern. A second concern is that once I start reading the list, I'm also going to be reading Shtari Hajatos as well. The Gemara wants to know, is there going to be a practical difference between these two reasons that are given? And so after a lengthy discussion on the Amud Aleph, the Gemara says there is going to be a practical difference, and that's going to be where the list is posted really high outside of arm's reach, and there's a nafkamina, assuming that the Chachamim, when they make a Gzeirah D'Rabbanan, there is a distinction to be made within the Gzeirah D'Rabbanan. And whether or not this idea that when the Chachamim make a Gzeirah, whether we say that there's a distinction or we say there's no distinction, that in of itself is a machlokas hatanaim, and the Gemara gave a couple of examples of this idea. Then, the Gemara talks about pictures, the Gemara talks about captions. Captions also, underneath the pictures, fall under this Gzeirah D'Rabbanan of not reading external materials on Shabbos. The Gemara goes on then, as we're on the very bottom of the Amud Aleph, in terms of making lotteries with your children. So what's that all about? So as we learned in the Gemara, that is educational, that's instructional. Rav Yehuda Marav says, as far as Ribbis is concerned, so you're charging your family interest, you're charging your family members interest, not because you want to charge them interest, but just as an educational vehicle to teach them what it feels like to be on the borrowing side of Ribbis, so they know what it feels like, and now they're gonna be sensitive to this topic. And also the same thing is true regarding having a lottery and the educational value of see what happens when you have when you do lotteries. And yes, if you're the winner, that's great. But if you're the loser, just know how it feels. And so as an educational tool, so that is the purpose of doing so. However, said the Gemara, doing this for anyone outside of your family is going to be not acceptable. It's not going to be okay. Now, on Shabbos itself, the concern is going to be for outsiders is that they're going to get a portion, and even though it kind of looks the same as other people, but they're makbid zel zeh, it bothers them that they're getting a portion that seems to be smaller than other people, they're going to start measuring and weighing, and that's going to be usur. That is a concern for Shabbos. Now during the week, so there, measuring is no problem during the week. The problem is that if we have a lottery, and now we're talking about where the winner is going to be getting actually more, like actual more, so then we're talking about gambling, and the Gemara says, and that's going to be prohibited. And as I pointed out, our Gemara's conclusion over here seems to suggest that gambling in of itself is usur, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin does not seem to arrive at the same conclusion. Okay, anyway, that is the second part. And finally, the third part of the Mishnah, in terms of the Kohanim and the lottery done by the Kohanim, so the lottery that's done by the Kohanim is in order to create a distribution for karbanos on that were shechted on Yontif. And then when the Mishnah says Havalo Lamanos, it's talking about any leftovers from yesterday, meaning before Yontif. So for those karbanos, which are weekday karbanos, so there the Kohanim are going to be dividing them, but not using a lottery. Now, as far as the difference between the two, so the difference is very simple. In other words, the Yontif karbanos, so there, since it is relevant for today, lottery. Yesterday's karbanos, which is not Yontif related, so no lottery. Why would I have thought that a lottery should be used? Because the Kohanim can at times be cantankerous. And when I say at times, I mean all the time. So they can be. So in order to try to minimize the fighting amongst the Kohanim, so we would even use lotteries in order to do a distribution on Yontif for something that was not related to Yontif. That was the Havamina. Okay. And then once we said this third halacha, we quoted Rav Yaakov, the grandson of Rav Yaakov, and then it engendered the Gemara's discussion of another statement that was made, more hashkafa, less halacha, and that is that a person should not be the instrument of din for somebody else, even though what that other person did was wrong, but you, the tzaddik, should not be the instrument of punishment. You shouldn't go over to Kadosh Baruch Hu and say to Kadosh Baruch Hu, hey, he wronged me, or he wronged somebody else, and he needs to be punished. You shouldn't be that instrument, and if you are that instrument, you are going to be outside of the mechitza of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Gemara wanted to know where's the source of that. The Gemara attempted to learn it out from the Ruach, which we came to learn is really Navos, which he was ousted outside of the mechitza of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because basically what he did is he served as the instrument in terms of the punishment and eventually the downfall of Achav and Achav dying in battle. But the Gemara says that's not a good proof, because the reason why he was outside the mechitza could just simply be a function of him having to lie. The Gemara quoted another pasuk from Chavakuk regarding what seems to be Nebuchadnezzar and Tzidkiyahu, where Tzidkiyahu was basically, the way we originally interpreted the pasuk, Tzidkiyahu was the instrument in which brought about the destruction of Nebuchadnezzar, and that seems to be the source, but the Gemara says no. That's not the way to interpret the pasuk. The pasuk is to be interpreted differently. We'll get back tomorrow to how to interpret the pasuk. And finally, the Gemara says, "Gamanosh tzaddik lo tov," that the punishment that is occurred through the tzaddik, that's lo tov, and lo tov is synonymous with ra. And the pasuk says, "Kilo kel chafetz rasha atalu yagurcha ra," that a ra cannot be inhabiting the same area as a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That eventually becomes the source for this idea.